This past December, writer Dave Eggers' publishing house McSweeney's released a newspaper called Panorama. But unlike typical newspapers, it was a lustrous and meticulously designed broadsheet edition of 320 pages, featuring long investigative pieces, a 96-page book review, a magazine, full-page color comics, and lengthy takeouts by such luminaries as William T. Vollman and Stephen King. Also, unlike newspapers, it was intended to come out only once. This week, I interviewed Eggers at the Conference of the American Society of Newspaper Editors in Washington. He said he began his project to reinvigorate the many journalists still at work in the medium.
And I have so many friends that work at newspapers all over the country and world. And we were talking all the time about people losing their jobs and shrinking staff, shrinking news holes, a sense of sense that there needed to be an injection of optimism, I think, about the print form. And I kept saying, no, it can work. And people still love print. And so one of the major factors was to demonstrate what print can do uniquely well and make it distinct from the web.
There's no question that it's a gorgeous demonstration of what can be done with print journalism, given the staff and the money. But with both of those resources in short supply in the typical newsroom, I wondered what lessons Panorama could hold for the audience of daily news editors.
What has this to tell newspaper editors? This is a pay on to print. It's an homage to the broadsheet. But in a way, it's got very little to do with the business of journalism day to day. How much do you think the Cleveland Plain Dealer would have to pay William Vollman for 17,000 words?
I don't agree. I think it's replicatable. Nobody asked William T. Vollman to fly down to Imperial County because we assume it's going to cost us $20,000, and that's not necessarily the case. I think so many writers, if given the opportunity and the space and that audience, Bill Vollman, you know, his books don't sell hundreds of thousands of copies. If a paper with a 300,000 dedicated circulation every day says, you know what, we're going to give you an 8-page section to talk about something vital. I mean, I know for a fact, because we asked, there's about 200 contributors to this project. Everybody leapt at it, not just because it was friends or anything, but because we said, we're going to give you an expansive amount of space. And I think that that's something so lacking. Everybody gets paralyzed with the fear that they're going to get most of what they write chopped in half for space alone, not for clarity or any other reasons. But if you say, you know, we're going to let this breathe a little bit, you can attract, especially right at this moment, you can attract people that otherwise, in the days when Esquire, GQ, all of these other magazines had much more space for the literary journalism, that doesn't exist as much anymore. So I think the Cleveland Plain Dealer could do the same thing, you know, have this writer on this subject and no one else has it. I don't know, there's a reason to pick it up and pay for it.
It was passed up to me that Ask Me really wanted me to ask about leadership. How do you get these people to volunteer, to work for free, to cluster around your effort? And I thought, it's like asking George Clooney how he gets all those girls. I mean, the fact of the matter is, it helps if you write a best-selling novel that's the seed of a new aesthetic that makes irony no longer detached, that unites irony with passionate engagement, and then to naturally draw people who share those passions to you.
It has nothing to do with me, and there was very little volunteer labor, I have to say. Our editors were all paid. On the outskirts, there were interns that were helping out, but everyone was paid.
You said it was 70,000 editorial?
Yeah.
$70,000. And a 350-page paper over 8 to 9 months to produce?
The only people working 8 to 9 months were me and one other guy. Everybody else was more like 5 weeks.
8 to 9 months is a long time for two people.
Yeah.
Something here isn't adding up for me. I mean, maybe
I can do all the math. It's real math. I got to tell you, and like, I hear that from all my friends, well, the math, rah, rah, rah. The math works, and I can apply it to anybody's circulation model. All of you who use freelancers, you might pay $250 for this, you might pay $500 for that. And that's affordable, right? And we were paying more than that for a fraction of the circulation. So freelance shouldn't be as a substitute for staffers, but if a whole city like San Francisco or New York or all these cities have so much talent that I don't think we need to create an unhurdleable wall between all of the writers and novelists and freelancers in a given city and our daily staff.
there's been so much said about the new relationship between news consumers and news producers, how this is no longer a one-to-many relationship, but it goes back and forth. What do you think about that?
I want a printed newspaper curated and edited by professionals that have been in the trade for decades, if possible. I am in internal deference to expertise. At the same time, I think that there is opportunities. We had this guy, Wajahat Ali, who was an attorney, who was a playwright and wrote about his adventures in foreclosure law. And we gave him a chance to write it. And we thought, well, if he writes it well, and then we spent about 10 days fact-checking, everything held up, and so we published it. So I think that there's a room there for the less experienced journalism. But mostly, I want to hear from the people that know how to get at the facts, that know where the bodies are buried, that know inside and out of every city hall and government bureaucracy, and tell me what I need to know. That's what I go for the newspaper for. So
let's talk about the traditional role of a newspaper in a community. At least historically, it's come out every day. What you've produced is something that one could take weeks to read all the way through.
Yeah.
And you've said that it was intended to be a kind of idealized Sunday newspaper?
A little bit. I mean, it's a concept car. It's sort of saying, here's all the things that the form can do. And we never said this is a daily newspaper. We said this is a celebration of the print form.
You think that daily is still the best way to go?
For me, I don't know what I would do if I didn't have 2-3 daily papers a day to read. I don't want to read online. I don't want to wake up and look at a screen. I feel like, you know, as a society, if we try to put everything on that same goddamn screen, and pretty soon we're going to be eating on the screen or, like, making love through the screen, it's just sort of like, why does everything have to be on the screen? You know, there's been some study that was quoted on one of our panels that said that even how we read, our blood pressure is different when we read on print than when we read online. I think that it's too exciting and distracting online. There's always some button that wants you to click to cat porn, you know, online. It's just like you're trying to read some article and it's flashing and it's telling you to go somewhere else. And I like the curatorial, the calmness, the authority of a daily paper. But I do think that it's a time to make the paper form more robust and more surprising and beautiful and expansive. People still want to read long form literary journalism, nonfiction, etc. And so why can't the print medium do that and be that home and leave the internet to do the more quick thinking and quick reacting things?
I would really love to ask any of the leaders of the papers in here, what Panorama suggests for you? What can you take away from it? Is it relevant to the work that you do? Go ahead.
I'm Mike Wilson. I'm from the St. Petersburg Times in Florida. To answer your question, Brooke, about whether we thought it was relevant, in my newsroom, absolutely. And the St. Pete Times has a tradition of doing long-form narrative journalism. I took it as a tribute, but also a challenge to do more and do it better. I thought it gave us a chance to look at what news is a little differently. You had a page of news items that had happened, say, in the last month before publication, that was just done in a really delightful way.
Yeah.
And I thought that there was some instruction in that for us in what we put in print, but also, in a sense, what we put on the web. There are interesting things that happen that are small things, but meaningful.
Hi, I'm Diana Marrero with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. I'm curious, you said you read 2 or 3 papers a day. What are they, and what's your favorite newspaper?
Well, I read the Chronicle and the New York Times for sure every day, then the Examiner, which is also in San Francisco, that I get free on my block. So those 3 papers every day. And then if I'm anywhere that the USA Today is, I'll read that, and I like the Wall Street Journal a lot. And then I get the Guardian in London sent to me bulk once a month. The Daily Zaman, we now are subscribed to that. That's in English and Turkish every day out of Istanbul. Can you believe it? I'm a fan of the form. You know, I always will be. I'm just in awe of what gets done every day. Having gone through it this time, I was 100 times more in awe of what happens every day. And so I sort of am personally relying upon the survival of the form, at least until I'm in the grave. Then after that, who knows? Thanks for letting me be here, everybody.
Thank you so much.